Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you on this Lord's Day. I want to invite you to get your Bibles out and turn to Mark chapter 2. It will be on the big screen, but I want to encourage you to bring your Bibles and to follow along in your Bibles. It's good for us to be familiar with our Bibles, amen?
Amen?
And it's good for you to have them with you, so I'm not trying to pull the wool over your eyes with some scripture that I'm reading. Casey, did you mention to this group, well, there's no snacks next week? In case you come just for the snacks, there isn't any next week. We'll be preparing for a funeral in the afternoon next week. So, as Casey did mention, please be in prayer for the Hullabs. They lost their son and the Horsemans. And we will do that funeral here next Sunday afternoon. And so there won't be any snacks between services next Sunday. I would also mention this, that today is Memorial Stones Part 4. And I'm going to go 4 weeks straight now and maybe try to bring the Memorial Stone series to close. So you got to put up with me now for 4 weeks. Then Casey will be in the pulpit again for a couple of weeks, and then it's already Easter. And so, Memorial Stones Part 4 today. And I'll tell you more about this later, but I could tell of God's miracles all summer. Amen? And I could tell you miracles of transformed lives all day. Today is going to be a story of life transformed. And when I started this series, most of you know this, we set up these memorial stones, Joshua chapter 4, as God instructed Joshua, don't forget. And so as I press through this memorial stones series, I want us never forget what God has done. Next week I'll tell you what happens when we forget. That's next week. And the 2 weeks after that, more miracles. But I want us to never forget what God has done. Mark chapter 2. Then he went out again, that's Jesus, then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, that's Jesus, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. Levi, better known as Matthew. And he, that's Jesus, said to him, follow me. So he arose, that's Matthew, Levi, and he followed Jesus. Now it happened, Mark writes, as he, that's Jesus, was dining at Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. 16. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him, that's Jesus, eating with tax collectors and sinners, they said to the disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he heard their comments. He said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I love that verse. Amen? That's what he came for. I mentioned this 2 weeks ago when I was talking in the part three of Memorial Stones. I pray a lot for our communities. I pray every day, as a matter of fact, for our communities, the communities from which we come from, for the salvation of souls, that people will genuinely turn to Christ. For anyone and everyone. Because you see, when Jesus said, I didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance, that means he loved them enough, and us who were sinners also, to call those people unto himself. The church should have the same passion to pray for and to long for and to fast for lost folks coming to Christ. That should be the heart of the church. I love listening to old sermons. I listen to some of Billy Graham's. I listen to Adrian Rogers from time to time. And I was listening to Pastor Adrian Rogers. They're both gone now, long gone. But I was listening to Pastor Adrian Rogers, and it was just a short clip on whatever, YouTube or something. But Pastor Adrian Rogers said this in this sermon that I was listening to just last week. And I quote, he's speaking to believers. And I quote from Pastor Adrian Rogers, if you're not endeavoring to bring lost souls to Jesus Christ, then you are not right with God. And then he built on that. He said, appreciate and thank you for your tithes. But if you are not endeavoring to bring souls to Jesus Christ, you are not right with God. And then he took it further and said about classroom teachers and other things that we do. But his point was the heart of the church should be like the heart of Jesus to see lost souls coming into the kingdom. That should be the heart of the church. Amen? Amen. It should be the heart of the church. As I mentioned to you, I would love to tell you stories of people that I have had the privilege to lead to the Lord. I could tell you stories all day long to the glory of God. I could tell you stories of 11th hour conversions of people I didn't even know until I was told, go visit this person, or will you stop and see this? Will you go to Brainerd Hospital and see this one? They come to Christ and we're gone in 48 hours. I could tell you stories like that all day long. I could tell you stories of people that have come to faith in Christ who thought they knew the Lord. They knew about him here. They even went to church, but they didn't know Jesus. I could tell you stories of the Georges and the Rons and the Ricks and the Aldeans and the Dons or the Lolas or the Leanne's or Becky's or Tammy's or Howard's or a lot more to the glory of God. But I'm not going to tell you those stories today. I am going to tell you one different one. Why? Because in this Memorial Stones series, I want us to recognize again the good things that God has done. And one of the miracles that he's done here, and not just here, but he's obviously done it here over and over again, is to rescue lost people and put them on the pathway to found. Hallelujah. And so, I mentioned this for three reasons today. I want to demonstrate again what Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, I came to save sinners. And I want us to understand again the good things that God has done. And point three for this part four of the Memorial Stones, I want us to be reminded that followers of Jesus, we are commissioned to tell others of the good news of Jesus. Amen. It was early March 2008. I told you 2 weeks ago how the Lord called me out of the factory into the full-time ministry. This was now early March 2008. I had been full-time pastor in the building over there. We call it Riverside. It was Riverside we purchased it from. I had been there full-time for 2 years. It was late at night. I think it was a Monday night. It was late enough that I think I was in bed. Of course, it don't have to be too late for that, but I think that's where I was. And I got this call from one of the supervisors at the plant that used to report directly to me. And she told me that one of the other supervisors of the plant, who also reported directly to me for the last many, many years, had a grandson in the children's hospital fighting for his life. I told Sandy that night, "Thank you for telling me. Is Grandpa down there?" "Yeah, Grandpa and Grandma, Mom, they're down there." I said, "I'll go tomorrow." And so I went to Minneapolis Children's Hospital the next day. When I got to the hospital, I met Grandpa and Grandma and Mom, their daughter, who happened to be the mom of the boy. And I talked briefly with them. And then they took me to the room of the little boy. I stood there by this little boy's bed, and he was unconscious, obviously. I looked at the monitors. I've been in hospital rooms enough to know what some of the monitors meant, and I was very, very heavy-hearted. Silently, I cried. Silently, I prayed. And stood there just trying to take it all in. I don't know if I was so heavy-hearted that day because I had two little boys of my own at that time. We just had two grandsons in the past 2 years, and this little fellow was just slightly older than my grandsons, and I don't know if I was so heavy-hearted about that or why, but I was terribly burdened at this whole situation. I went across the room from where I was. I was alone in the room with the little boy. Then I went across the aisle to the waiting room where Grandpa and Grandma were and the little boy's mom. And they told me why the little boy was here in the room. Mom was living with a fella, not the boy's daddy. Mom got up and got ready to go to work that Monday morning, leaving the children with boyfriend who had just worked all night, been up 24 hours, worked all night, and was hoping to get some sleep. But little boy got up and little boy wanted to do little boy things. Boyfriend was tired, wanted little boy to go back to bed. But little boy, whether he wanted breakfast or wanted to play or whatever else, he had had bed enough and he was ready to go for the day. In his tiredness, boyfriend picked up little boy and threw him back towards the bed. Little boy hit his head on something, bed frame or the post or something. That's why we're all standing in the children's hospital. I spent a little time with the family and I prayed with them, and I had hopes that God might intervene and just heal him. I knew it was going to take a miracle. But I left very, very heavy-hearted, very sad. On March 12, 2008, little boy Dylan died. Grandpa called me. Grandpa wasn't in church. Mama wasn't much. So they really weren't connected too much to a church. They asked me if I'd do the funeral. And even though we were surely enjoying the Riverside Church, the one we'd been in at this point for a little while, Grandpa and I knew that that church wouldn't be adequate for this funeral. So we asked permission from our sisters and brothers at Casino Assembly of God Church, because that's a neighborhood Grandpa lives, and plus he has relatives and connections in the church. They graciously allowed us to have the funeral there at their church. I'm not too proud to say that in those days between learning of his death and preparing for that funeral, I've really never cried more in my life. I've never cried harder. I've never cried more. Trying to prepare for an innocent 2 or 3 year old boy's funeral that shouldn't have died. It shouldn't have happened. I was crying that morning at home, and Sherry knew that if I couldn't get it together, I was never going to be able to do a sermon for a little boy. I went over to Casino Church and went up to the casket with Mom and was there at the casket for a few minutes, and then I needed to go to Pastor Dan's study, and I just needed to be alone. I couldn't stop crying. And while I was in there in his study, I was crying out to God and saying, God, you got to help me. You got to give me the strength to do what you call me to do. And in a mere 5, 6, 7 minutes before it was time to start, God dried up my tears and gave me the strength to go take care of this funeral for this little boy. I led Mama and her parents in. They sat down and I took the pulpit. I remember that service well. I remember Bruce Martin sang a beautiful tribute to the little boy. I remember that they played a little video clip of the movie Madagascar. I'd never heard of Madagascar, but it's a really cute kids movie, and Dylan loved the movie, so they played a little of that. And the Lord enabled me to get through the service. When the service was concluded, I stepped off the pulpit back down to the casket, preparing to lead Mom and the casket and her parents and the family out to the funeral coach, put the casket in the hearse. And I was walking out that aisle. They had a center aisle, and then we were leading the casket out, and the Lord spoke to me just as clear as if he'd have been standing right there beside me. I know a lot of people say, well, God don't speak to us today except through his words, and all I can say to you is, I know what he said to me that day, and he said, go see Robert. I didn't know who Robert was, except for I knew he was the man that took Dylan's life. And my mind screamed, you got to be kidding me. I don't know who he is. I don't know where he's at. And in those short few steps from the pulpit, the casket, leading the casket to the hearse, I rationalized, God, I'm not sure I even want to go see him. But the message was crystal clear. Go see Robert. And so we walked out to the hearse. They placed the casket into the coach, and other people came out, and even though it was a winter day, it was March, and there was, I remember the snow gently falling. A group of people had kind of gathered off behind the casket, off to the right of the church doors, and I reasoned with the Lord, I really don't want to do this. But I also reasoned, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to get a little information. So Robert's mother, who was just grieving the way everybody else was, I knew Robert's mother because I worked with her, and she was there grieving just like the rest of the people that were there. And so I went over to Robert's mother, and I said, I'm so sorry about everything that's happened here. I said, can you tell me where's Robert? She said very simply, he's in the Morrison County Jail. I said, thank you. The reason I'm asking you, because the Lord has impressed upon me to go see him. So a few days later, I grabbed a new Bible out of the office, and I grabbed a tract. I like to give people tracts that point them to Christ. And I went to Morrison County Jail. Because I hadn't been there for a little while, I didn't have clearance to go on the inside. I could talk to them through the plexiglass on the phones, but I knew I wouldn't be able to go inside, so I simply said to the jailer, I brought a Bible. I'm Pastor Jim. I'm here to see Robert. I brought a Bible, and I brought a tract. I wonder if you could give them to him. I knew she'd have to look through it, make sure I wasn't trying to smuggle something in. I said, that's fine. Look through it, but please get him this Bible, and please get him this tract. And if I could, I'd like to see him today while I'm here. She said, we'll get him. Go down to booth number 4. So I went down to booth number 4, and I sat down and I waited for Robert. I didn't even know what he looked like. Never met him before. And he came, and he picked up the phone, and I was on the phone, and I said, hello, Robert. He greeted me, and I said, my name is Pastor Jim, and I don't believe that we've ever met, and I really don't believe that you know me, but I'm the one that has just done the funeral service for Dylan. And he broke down and began to weep. And then I said to him, I'm not even sure why I'm here, except to tell you that God loves you and that Jesus died for our sin. And there's forgiveness in God when we confess our sin. Then I told him, I left a Bible out front for you, Robert, and there's a tract there, simple to read tract. I want you to read that. I'm going to get clearance, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to come inside, and I'm going to sit down with you again, and I'm going to visit with you again. And so I did get clearance, and a week or so later, I did go back, and I did go inside, right inside the pod, and I sat down at a table right inside there with him, and we visited about a few things. And I said, did you read the Bible? He said, I don't read the Bible too good. I don't understand it, and I don't read too good. Did you read the tract? He said, I read the tract. And he said, not only did I read the tract, I understood the tract, and I prayed the prayer in the back of the tract, and I signed my name. And I said, glory to God. Because this little tract, I don't remember which one it was, How to Know Christ as Savior, 4 Spiritual Laws, I don't know which one it was. In the back, it had a little prayer, an example. You could pray, you could cry out to God and repent of your sins, believe in Him by faith and receive Him by faith and sign your name if you've done that. And he said, I read the tract, and I prayed the prayer, and I signed my name. I said, thank you, Lord. We talked a few more minutes, and we prayed together, and I said to him, Robert, don't ever turn your back on Jesus. He said, I'll never turn my back on Jesus. I was back in jail down there with him a week or two later. And that time he told me, I've been sharing my Bible with my cellmate. And I've been telling him about Christ in this little tract. And again, I said, thank you, Lord. I thought, if there's ever a miracle, there's one. A man went from taking life 2 weeks ago to sharing eternal life with somebody in the cell right next to him a few days later. There's a miracle if there ever was one. A couple weeks later, I sat in the courtroom when he was sentenced. He told the family that day, I'm so sorry. This should have never happened. He told the judge that day, as he had told me inside the cell 2 weeks earlier, I'm guilty. I need to serve my time for my crime. And he went to prison for 10 years for second degree unintentional murder. I said, Robert, don't ever turn your back on Jesus. I said, if I get a chance, I'm going to come see you in St. Cloud Prison too before you get shipped off someplace else. And A month or so later, I got clearance and I did go see him. When they brought him down to the library where they put me, he cried. He said, "I never thought you'd come." After we visited a little while, I said, "Robert, don't ever turn your back on Jesus." He said, "I'll never turn my back on Jesus." I said, "It ain't going to be easy for the next 10 years. I said, "Don't turn your back on Jesus." I spoke to his mother 2 weeks ago. I said, "How's Robert?" "He's got the 10 years done now. He's back in his hometown." She said, "He's in church and they baptized him. They baptized him just a short time ago." And one more time, I said, "Thank you, Lord." Verse 17, Mark 2. When Jesus heard it, when he heard the religious elite murmuring about who he was keeping company with, he reminded them why he came. He reminds us, people of God, today, why he came. He reminded them, we don't go see the doctor when we're well. We go see him when we're sick. And he reminded them, as he reminds the church today, "I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners to repent." There's two messages here. One, may we in the church never be like the scribes and Pharisees and look down on the murderer, the homosexual, the transgender, the liar, the thief, or anything else. That's who he came to die for. And he had to remind the snooty types that day, the holier than thou types that day, "These are the people I came for. These are the people I came to die for." And lesson number two from that, when he came to die on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, he died for us all. Robert, me, you, and everybody else. Everybody else is caught up in sin. Everybody else that's confused in their mind about what it even looks like to walk with Jesus. And I know the arguments because I've heard them. They don't deserve Jesus. The pedophile, he deserves what he's going to get. The mass murderer, the rapist, the baby killer. I've heard the arguments. They don't deserve grace. That's what I've heard. But when you think about it, neither do I. And neither do you. But he died on the cross for us anyway. And I just happen to think, if the church would be more like Jesus and less like scribes and Pharisees in loving our neighbors, regardless of who they are, or if the church would be more attentive to the Holy Spirit of God when he says, "Jim or John or Judy or George or whatever your name is, go visit your neighbor." If we would be more attentive to the Spirit of God when he says that, he has a word for them. You don't have to come up with what to say because he's going to speak through you. And if he is speaking to you about that neighbor or about that coworker or about that person in jail, then it behooves us to do what Jesus would do and go sit down with Matthew and the sinners. It behooves us to go because he's got a plan for them. And I just happen to think if more of us who have claimed the name of Christ would be more available to the Spirit of God when he speaks in our mind, go see Robert. I believe more of those kind of miracles would happen. And I believe there'd be more memorial stones set up because we say one more time, thank you, Lord, another miracle. Praise team, are you still here? We're going to sing the song. If we got any praise team, yeah, we got some. Now let me say this, friends. Let me say two things in preparation for closing. May we never be like the scribes and Pharisees and look down on somebody. Just because we might have a right relationship with God today, maybe we've been born again, maybe we're spirit-led, may we never be like the scribes and Pharisees and look down on others that may not know Jesus yet. May we never be like that. And the second thing I want to say today is, Jesus is not a religion. He's not a denomination. And if you're basing your eternity on your good works or your church membership or I've been baptized and you have not been born again, you're in the same road Robert was until he come to Christ. Jesus is the one that said you must be born again. That's a spiritual rebirth, and every time that happens, it's a miracle. And so if you're here today and you're not even sure if you died tonight, you'd be in heaven tomorrow, then I would encourage you, by faith, repent. Repent of all sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him by faith. Invite him, come into my life, Lord, take over. If you're not walking with Jesus today, friends, please do not delay. Eternity is a long time to be wrong. While we're singing this song, if you're sensing God moving in your heart and you want to do something about that, we'll pray with you. Or come to the altar or stand where you're at and pray. But repent of all sin. Believe that Christ died for your sin. Believe he's the only way to God and receive him by faith and commit, as I told Robert, never turn your back on Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for closing prayer. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me ask you once more. Are you ready for eternity with Jesus? Have you committed your life to Christ? Are you walking with Jesus? Are you here today and you want to give your life to the Lord? You're just not sure you've ever done it. You're not sure you got things squared away with God. If that's the case for you today, just slip your hand up so I can pray for you. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, thank you. You can put your hand down. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible also says, with our mouth we confess, and our heart we believe that God raised him from the dead. And so if you're not sure today, friends, don't delay any longer. Eternity is a long time to be wrong. Father, thank you for your grace. your grace that's always willing to go a little farther than our sin took us. Jesus, thank you for the blood that you shed on Calvary's tree for our sin. Not just tax collectors and sinners of that day, but ours also, mine, Robert's, and all the rest. Thank you, Jesus. For those that have raised their hands today, Father, I just pray that they would just, in the quiet of their heart, invite you to come into their life and take over. Commit, as Robert did a bunch of years ago, I'm going to follow Jesus. Thank you again for forgiveness of sin, O God. And I would pray again this morning, Father, may we in the church who have found our way to the cross by faith and given our life to Christ and are committed to walking with Jesus, may we never be like the scribes and the Pharisees that day, looking down their nose at people that were different. Forgive us, Lord, when we have. May we not be like that in the future. And help us, Father, be attentive to your Spirit when you put that message on our heart. Go see your neighbor, that coworker, that relative, whoever it is that you put on our heart that needs a word. May we listen and respond because we know that you have them in mind. I thank you again this morning, Father, for rescuing Robert, washing him in the blood of the Lamb, being baptized a summer or so ago. Today he's in church and walking with Jesus. I thank you for that. And every other miracle of rebirth, my own and everyone else's, I thank you for that, Father. Help us to go from this place today trusting in you to a new level, dependent upon you to a new degree, surrendered completely to you. Comfort those who hurt, like the Hollubs and others who have lost loved ones lately. Comfort them, Father. Those that are sick and on death's door, comfort them. And if they're not ready, Father, rescue them before it's too late. Revive the church, O God. Use us. Help us to have eyes to see what you see and ears to hear what you hear. And help us to be attentive. After all, you left us here to be the hands and feet of Jesus, not just to please ourselves, not just to live for ourselves, but to live for you. Use us this week, I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.